This love story is about Cindy and Raymond Sievers of Meppen, Illinois, recorded June 3rd, 2024. All right, I am Chris Lorton here with one of my favorite couples. Got a lot of favorite couples, but these two are really special. Cindy Sievers and Raymond Sievers. How you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And we're going to do an interview right now that is basically for you. We'll make a copy of it, put it on a flash drive, and you can share it with whoever you want to.
Okay, thank you.
Put it on your computer, your phone, whatever you want. You have it. It's yours. So, Cindy and Raymond. Cindy?
Yes.
We grew up together.
We did.
but this, when you grew up, you were kind of a tomboy.
Very much so.
Yeah, so much that you.
I wanted to be you.
You wanted to be me.
Charlie, right, Cindy?
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, you wanted to, wanted everybody to call you Charlie.
Yep,
for a while.
Dad named me that one morning at coffee. Yep. I would get up in the morning and have coffee with him.
Yeah.
And I said I didn't like being a girl. I wanted to be a boy. And he said, well, you do. And so he took the spoon in his coffee and he swirled it and he tapped it on the side of his cup and swirled it over the top of me and say, you are now Charlie. Boom. And I wanted people to call me Charlie.
Raymond, you didn't want anybody to call you Reese or anything, did you?
No. No way. No.
No. So I know the household that you, it was like, how many, eight kids?
Eight. I have seven siblings.
Seven siblings. Okay. One second. All right. Now you, Raymond, you had seven siblings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, seven siblings. You were the middle child?
Yeah, I was the fourth one born, and so I called the middle child. Yeah. Pat and I were the middle children.
Yeah. How was it growing up in the Sievers house on the farm?
You know, Chris, I felt at the time that I was had the best parents that a kid could have. I still feel that way. That's how wonderful my childhood was. We had a big front yard, and during the summertime, every night we'd go out there and we'd play ball together. Either Dad would come out there and hit us fly balls, or we'd break into a game where Roy and I were playing against Sander Merlin. And I was pretty young at the time. You would think that would have been unfair to have it. But anyway, I just had a blast as a child. We, again, raised on a farm that had animals on it, hogs. One of my fondest memories was that Dad would feed the sows on the hillside where there was lizard dirt, and at the time, sows had long tails, and we'd sneak up behind and grab them by the tail.
Lizard
dirt. It's a light soil, and it dries out and gets real fluffy, like almost like baby powder.
Okay.
And the sows would eat and, of course, create dried out and this and that. And so you had about 4 or 5 inches of just dust, and you'd grab a hold of that and just let them drag you through that. And we just had a blast. And Pat and I would use our dump trucks to go up the hillside, and the sows had paths going down. We'd sit in dump trucks and try to ride them down that hill in the pass, and you never knew what route they were going to take. Yeah, I had a wonderful childhood.
Yeah. How about you, Cindy? How was your childhood?
It was fun. I always had somebody to play with.
Yeah, we did.
We played a lot of imaginary games and a lot.
Yeah.
And went up in the woods behind the house and played in the cemetery, which I don't even think we realized it was a cemetery. I guess we knew, but we didn't care. Well, didn't bother us.
No, didn't bother us.
So a lot of adventure. It was fun.
And do you remember that one game that we played, you and I, where we were opposites?
Yes.
We told Raymond, whatever we said the opposite way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We had a whole language.
A whole lingo.
Yeah, I don't recall ever hearing about this.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. It was, Like if something was right,
if I want you to go, he would stay.
Yeah, you need to stay. I mean, it was everything was a negative and opposite thing. It was, it was fun. Yeah, I remember though. We grew up, and you remember going to school for the first time.
Oh gosh, hated it.
Yeah, it was.
I was scared to death.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy for us.
Had to wear a dress for one.
Yes, wear a dress, and we got in trouble first day of school.
Always.
Yeah.
Because we played together.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
We start playing, I guess, girls chase the boys, boys chase the girls,
yeah,
something like that before school. We got called in, got in trouble.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Listen, you ever get in trouble, Ray, when you were a kid?
Not too often.
No?
No. Not that I was a great child or anything like that. I don't know. I just didn't. Again, I said earlier on in a different interview that I've always had a servant's heart. I guess that's a way of putting it. I like to do things for my parents as a little child to help them out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, every once in a while, back then, there would be a wedding dance and mom and dad would go out, and it's usually at the Legion Hall in Brussels. And I would beg them to let me stay home. And my intention was, and I did do it, then when they let me, I would clean the house for mom.
You would?
Yeah. And same thing with dad. If I seen something I thought needed to be done on the form, uh-huh, again, I was very little, I would just go ahead and do it to help dad out. I got great fulfillment out of doing these things. It ain't like these were things that I was...
Hardships.
Like they were not hardships in my life. I got great fulfillment out of them.
Tell us about your mom. What was she like?
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Well, she was just the opposite of my dad, not in gender. Of course, that's obvious, but personality-wise. My personality is like my mom. I'm kind of a harder personality, more of a critic.
You're athletic. Your mom was very athletic.
That's true. That's true. My dad was simply a lover. He didn't say anything harsh to you. I was never... disciplined by dad with a whipping or anything like that. I probably was maybe cracked with my mom. I know, I'll give you a story of my mom. So she was wanting to paint, and of course I was probably 2 or 3 years old maybe, and I also wanted to climb the ladder, she said, but we did butchering at the time, and they found out that I was afraid of pig feet. And so mom would just lay a pig foot, she told me, on the lower rung, and that kept me away from the ladder. I would solve that problem. That's how, now, that's how mom dealt with it. Now, dad, he would have taken the ladder out. So he didn't have to discipline.
Yeah.
That was the difference between mom and dad. And when Cindy and I got married, this the neatest thing. We had our four oldest children within 5 years, and then... our siblings would also had many children at the time, which was Sandy, Marlene, and Roy had children. We would come to mom and dad's house on Sunday. Dad would invite us without informing mom of it first. We would come up for the barbecue that dad invited us to, and dad would be sitting at the table peeling potatoes, and mom would walk behind him, and not in a mean way, but would walk behind him because he invited everybody up and just popping behind him. Oops. Popping behind dad.
Sure.
But that didn't never curtail dad. I mean, he just called us up. Dad also would haul our livestock to St. Louis to market, and inevitably, if it was during the summertime when watermelon was available, he'd pick up watermelon and he'd invite us all over and he'd cut that watermelon open outside.
Was fun.
My dad was just a giver.
Yeah, he was one heck of a guy. Do you remember any good stories about
Eddie and Martha?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Tons.
Give us a good one.
About Martha?
Be honest.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, she didn't like me a lot. She did. She loved me, but she told me that I was taking her best helper away. And I was like, oh, sorry, you know? And I wasn't like we said at one time, you know, I wasn't from a farm. I didn't know how to garden. I didn't know how to do any of that. And she expected me to know how to do this stuff. And her and Raymond were like he said, a lot alike. And they would come down and plant this acre garden that I had no idea how to take care of. And then I...
Mom and I were tyrants.
Yeah. And it made me...
Trying to teach you.
Trying to teach me, but all they did was just put it out there, and I had to figure it out. And I couldn't figure it out. And it was horrible. It was a mess. I hated it. So I just took the mower and mowed everything off one day and got really big trouble.
It really helped our marriage.
And
oh, let me tell you a quick story on the gardening. I was very particular. When I planted sweet corn, you could tell that baby any which way, any direction, because I put every seed a certain distance apart that the tiller could go in any way you wanted. You could look at it, and that was a perfect checkerboard.
But I never got the tiller. I got a hoe.
Anyway, so I put in the garden for the most part, and then I expected the first year for Cindy to do the harvesting, and it didn't happen. The second year I put in the garden, I harvest the, like, for example, the green beans. I'd bring them in, put them on a table, and a couple of days later I'd feed them to the pigs. Third year, we didn't have a garden. It was just better off not with the garden.
I didn't know how to can. I didn't know how to do any of this. I had no idea. Yeah. Mom never canned with me.
No.
I did not know how to do it. And they all expected me to know how to do this stuff. Now, I would go up and help her and try to figure things out, but I was never instructed on how to do anything. I just was supposed to know.
So, did you spend a lot of time with Eddie and Martha?
Oh, yes. A lot. They played a lot of pinochle, a lot of poker. And every evening they play, you know, the kids would go up and we'd go up with them and play ball. But, you know, it sometimes, you know, it was got a little uncomfortable because Martha really didn't want anybody there. We went there anyway because Eddie invited us.
Well, not unless we were playing cards. My mom.
Then she loved you to be there. Yeah.
She's a gamer. She loves playing games.
She was really good hearted. I loved her to death.
Yeah.
She was tired. I look back at that, and she was tired. She had raised 8 kids on a farm, and, you know, it was a hard life because she
was continuously working.
Continuously.
Yeah, that's right.
Her garden was their grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And she would do no less than 100 quarts of beans or 100 quarts of corn or whatever, nothing. Nothing was less than 100, and then she was cooking from the time she got up till the time she went to bed, and cleaning and doing stuff outside, and plus watching 8 children, or raising 8 children, and Eddie. Yeah.
Eddie, happy-go-lucky Eddie.
Eddie was so sweet and so nice, and gosh.
And so not particular.
So not particular. Yeah.
So did you ever have any like run-ins with Martha where it threatened your relationship?
No. She made it known she didn't really want me to do a few things, go with them a few places. She just wanted Raymond to go. I could stay home.
Oh, the aluminum cans.
Yeah. She just wanted to spend the day with Raymond when I was pregnant with Sean, and Raymond goes, Cindy, why don't you come with us? And I said, okay, you know, and I get there, and Martha was mad, boy. She did not want me to come.
She didn't want to share it.
No, she didn't want to share Raymond.
Raymond, yeah.
Yeah, she just wanted Raymond time.
We know Raymond's very competitive, okay? And I think Martha's very competitive.
Very competitive, and very musical.
Oh, yeah?
Martha was very musical.
Extremely.
She could play an instrument. And she tuned the kids' instruments by ear. And she could play the piano, play the organ.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And she learned it all by ear.
And never
she could
did.
Give her a guitar. She could start picking something out. Or she used to play the harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
And she played the harmonica.
Now, mind you, she was never taught how to do any of this stuff.
Mm-mm.
And
no.
She very seldom did it. So when she would pick up an instrument and all of a sudden this music came out of it.
Yeah, it was.
You didn't know where it was coming from.
It was remarkable. Mm-hmm.
Now, Raymond, did you get a little of that?
No, I didn't hear it, that part. I'm pretty much like my mom, but not there.
Not that part.
Not there.
Mm-mm.
Do you remember, Raymond, any of your Grandparents? Do you remember grandparents?
I vaguely remember my mom and dad's. I do remember my mother's parents, which is Mary and John. And Cindy and I, of course, we live in the house where they lived. But my dad's parents, I do not remember them. I was very young when they passed.
How about Mary and John? What do you remember about them?
Well, my fondest memory of my grandpa, John, was when we did go down there. Again, they only lived a quarter to half a mile from us. But you just didn't, when you had big families then, you just didn't load everybody up and go there. So we didn't go there very often. But my grandpa would walk us out when we were leaving, and he would be underneath the dust of dawn light telling us bye. And I've always remembered that for some reason.
So how about any, you had Uncle Henry, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't he kind of like a grandpa for you?
Yes,
growing up?
He was. Henry, again, my grandparents, both sides died when I was fairly young. And then my mom's brother, Henry, married my dad's sister, Mary.
Oh, and, that sounds
familiar.
Yeah.
And I think Mary was 52. When
she
they
was
got married?
52 and he was 32.
Yeah, so
she was 20 years older.
They never had children, but we were their children and they were our extended grandparents. We were with them a lot.
Were you?
Almost every day.
Really?
They would come over.
They either come over for supper or after supper every day.
Mainly after supper.
Mm-hmm.
And if mom and dad needed a babysitter, it was Mary. So we were close to them.
And we rented our house from Henry and Mary when we first got married.
Did you?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Tell us about Henry, though. I know he was a character.
Yeah, he was. So tell the story about bringing a rent check over to Henry and Mary.
Oh, my gosh. Raymond and I always made a point of, we included Henry and Mary in a lot because it was like having grandma and grandpa next door.
Uh-huh.
And, we would take the rent check to their house. We never just mailed it or anything like that. We always walked over because, for one, after we had Sean was their baby. I mean, that was Mary's baby, and she made no bones about it. And so we always took them over, and they just...
And that was, what, a quarter of a mile walk?
Yeah, best.
At best.
Okay.
You know.
Because Hayden lives in that house now.
Right. Yes.
And you
yes.
live... In the home place.
Yeah, and we would walk over there with Hayden or Sean, and we would take the rent check over, and we'd always sit and visit. And I said, "Here, Aunt Mary, here's our rent check." And she goes, "Oh, keep that. We have so much money." Like that. It was so funny. And Henry looked at her, and he goes, "Mary," and jerked that rent check out of my hand. And we just laughed. And, you know, that's just who they were, you know. And they loved, they were around for Rachel. Yeah. They loved Rachel, too, a lot. And then when I was, I just found out I was pregnant with Chelsea and Aunt Mary passed away.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. She would have loved it. Yes. She would have loved it.
So a memory I have of Henry and Mary, I was in high school and I was helping Henry one summer. And when lunchtime would come, we'd go over there and... This is just the way times have changed. If your children, if you hear me now, times have really changed, not necessarily for the better. But I would go over there and eat lunch with them. And at this particular time in Mary and Henry's life, they were well-to-do. They hurt for nothing. But they didn't buy anything. We'd go over there and we'd get a drink for lunch. And they said, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, I'll take a soda, Pepsi." Well, the Pepsi was broke out, but the thing about it was the cups were all about three-quarter full with tea already, and you pour a little Pepsi on top of it, and we all shared that Pepsi. So
you said a little Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, they were very – this is the mentality of the way people were back then is just, Chris, your grandparent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very conservative.
Yes. And mm-hmm. it's just changed.
You'd go over there, and Henry would be eating cereal. He'd be out of milk. He would just use water and eat his cereal.
He would do that, Cindy, even if he had milk.
Yeah.
Milk costs money. Water was free.
Yeah.
And they probably had how many thousands of dollars in the bank?
Yes.
Like probably, said, but they never splurged for anything.
No.
just on Henry just a bit, because there are some nephews out there that are named Henry.
Oh, yeah. You know,
and maybe they might listen to this interview. Tell us a little bit about Henry. Because I know he was in the war, you know, he was at World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Can you share a story about Henry that can be passed down?
Oh, yes. So the one story was, he was on the front line, like in World War II, against the Germans.
And he was a German.
He was a German, yes.
My whole
family's German.
Right.
But at the time, America was fighting against Germany. And
what year was that? 42?
You know, 40? I want to say it was right around there, Chris. Yeah. I don't know the exact year.
Yeah.
But it's got to be close.
Right.
But he was on the front line, and the Germans overtook the line. But Henry
was... But he's in Europe.
Yes.
Somewhere. Do you know where he was?
No, I don't remember at the time.
Okay.
But... Henry not only was on the front line, he was probably the first person up front. Because, and the reason I know that is, he didn't know that his troop, his rest of his troop had retreated. And all of a sudden, the Germans
were on. He was by himself.
He was left alone there. And what he did is, he climbed in a foxhole, which was not that deep, pulled a bale of straw over, which was available there. And the Germans actually sat on that straw bale overnight.
And camped on top of him.
Camped over top of him that night.
Ooh, shoot.
And then the next morning, shells started flying from the Americans towards the Germans sitting there.
They were overtaking that line again.
They were overtaking the line again, and Henry was caught between the crossfire underground.
So now he had the fear of being shot by his own people if he popped up. So
he finally got up and got with them, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have a box at our house, and he never talked about it, but we have the Purple Heart. He has the Bronze Star and a few other medals. I mean, I can't remember what they are at this moment, but I have a lot of letters that he wrote back.
We should have brought that letter and read it.
I can't read it without crying. I absolutely can't read it without crying. It is when they invaded France.
Yeah.
He was in a glider. You know, the ones that they just drop out of the airplanes and they glide in?
Yeah, because they don't want to hear the sound of the engine,
No
right?
sound of engine, correct.
How big was this glider?
Big enough for him and one other person in it with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they would glide?
Yes, they would glide across the sky. He said he was in the airplane first. They were all sitting in their positions. Uh-huh. And they said it was just a calm night. Just they thought, what was going to happen? And then all of a sudden the sky lit up like 4th of July. He said it just bombs going off everywhere, and they let him out. Let the gliders loose, and they were going across France. And he said you could see in the fields where the Germans had put up a big posts, wooden posts, so that enemies would run into them and kill them.
The glider would hit.
The glider would hit.
And kill the people in the glider.
And kill the people in the glider. He says none of them hit the post. And they all were able to glide in on the big field and were able to get in there. And, of course, they lived. And he said he was so proud of one of his pilots because he led the way. Uh-huh. And
So they were actually gliding and landing in the middle of enemy territory.
Yes.
And it was their job to clear the way.
Yes. And Henry actually got an honorable discharge. I thought he had just got out of the service, but it wasn't. He was actually shot. And he had a lot of cuts and stuff in his face, really bad.
His brother Alfred, when we were talked about how what you noticed about Henry when he came back, and he talked about how bad his face was cut up.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Henry was a very determined man. He had to have I think his gallbladder removed one
Correct.
Time.
He did,
and he was in a hospital, of course, for it. You had to stay in at that time for a gallbladder removal, and happened to be he had a roommate, and Henry, and again, he didn't
Henry
share.
Henry knew the roommate.
Yeah. Henry didn't share much about the war. He tells one story about him walking along, and him and his buddy were supposed to be checking for mines. His buddy stepped on one.
Blew him up.
And he said he was just scattered through the trees. But Henry had to keep going. That's how he was.
Said, he said, I picked up his dog tags and kept walking.
And kept going. That's the type of man. But anyway, when Henry had his gallbladder removed, like he knew the person in the bed next to him. And he started hallucinating back to the war. And he told his roommate, we got to get out of here. The Germans are coming. And he says, one's underneath your bed. Well, he's seen his roommate's shoes underneath the bed. Mm-hmm. And he begged them to tie him down. Because if they didn't,
he would kill somebody.
He would probably kill somebody because that's what they did in the war.
So they took his roommate out because they caught Henry. Henry had pulled all the tubes out of his body.
Mm. He was leaving
Was leaving Jerseyville Hospital, and he was trying to get down the hallways.
Wow.
And they got him, and they put him in a private room, and Raymond and I went in to see him, and he was crying. He says, Raymond, make them tie me in. He goes, I will kill someone.
Yeah, he didn't want me to leave.
Just out of his mind.
He said he knew that he was going in and out of hallucinating being back in the war. He goes, I will kill someone.
How old was he then?
Oh, gosh.
70? No, I don't think so, honey. Probably around his 50s.
Okay, maybe so. Late 50s. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, I just cried.
But anyway, again, Henry never was proudful of what he did.
Mm-mm.
He never told us stories about a disc, but I...
Those are the only stories he told us, really.
I can't imagine, knowing Henry and how determined he was to do his job, how many people's lives he had to take to save other lives.
Yes.
But he just never did talk about it.
Correct.
He was a neat fellow to learn, to know.
I didn't know him that well at all, but I was around him just enough to know that he was... I don't know.
Big part of our lives.
He just had an air about him.
Yes.
You know? Like, you didn't want to mess with him.
Yes.
Know?
No. I mean,
he would, on his own farm, he had a shed, and every night he would take his rake, and he would rake himself out of the shed so that the dirt was real calm, so there was no
smooth
marks, no tracks.
Just to see tracks?
To see if anybody walked in his thing. And one day he caught our son Sean and our nephew Chad. They had gone in there to do something, and he saw footprints, and he went up to the farm and he lifted up their shoes and he goes, well, you two are the two.
But I think this all again comes from his military experience.
His military,
if you weren't observant of everything, I believe that's how it was, you would lose your life. And so he was very, very observant of everything that mm-hmm. went on. Until he passed, he was this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if people even think about what the cost of freedom is. And now people like Henry.
Yes.
What they
went through.
Went through, what they saw, what they heard.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, they risked their life every day.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
For a foreign war.
And he would do it again.
He would.
You could tell.
It's kind of... As far as your ancestors, do you have any idea when your ancestors came over from Germany and why they came?
We have it written at home.
We do, and I don't recall it, actually.
It was your great-grandparents that came over.
Yes, we have the genealogy.
The genealogy.
So, mm-hmm. But I don't recall it that way.
Did they come to the Brussels, Meppen area?
Meppen area, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea why they came there?
No.
No, I don't know how they found out about it. I think it was for farming. I don't know if they heard that somebody else came and then they came there too.
I'm sure it was to better their life.
You think it was like in the 1800s?
There's a lot
of people coming in the 1800s.
Yes.
Here in Jerseyville.
Correct. It was because Aunt Mary was born in 1899.
Okay.
And she was born in the county.
And she spoke German.
She would talk to us in German.
Okay. How about Henry? Could he speak German?
Oh, I'm sure he could, but he didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't do it like Aunt Mary.
How about your mom? Did she speak?
No, she didn't.
And your dad didn't speak German?
No. Mary was probably 20 years older than my dad. Mary was close to the eldest in the family.
She was the second oldest child.
And my dad was the youngest. And in the adulthood, they lost some children. My grandparents lost some children when they were born in that area. A lot of people did back then.
Yeah.
But there ended up being, she ended up having 12 sons and 2 daughters.
Mm-hmm. But we have...
And Mary and my Uncle John were the oldest two.
See. You know what I notice with the Brussels Meppen area, you know, when you drive through it? You've been to Ireland.
Yes,
Cindy.
Very much
and
so.
When you drive through it, you see those rolling hills and go, I bet that's why they all wanted to come here. I mean, why they wanted to sell, they probably got word home, hey, come to this area.
Correct. I think so.
Because you have so many families, so many, you know, the Eberlins, the Seavers. Mm-hmm. I mean, how mm-hmm. many different families? Is there like maybe 20 different families?
In, on my side, yes, because like I said, I had 14 aunts and uncles on my dad's side and 10 on my mom's side. So, yes. Yeah. I remember my grandparents, they had the funeral farm, and then the reception was at their house on the farm where we live now.
Correct.
And I was a little child, I must say 8-9 years old, maybe. And I had a blast. It was a funeral, but I had a blast. We had all of my cousins there. We just played games out the wazoo.
Yeah.
If I have anything I would like to pass on to the or to anyone, I think we've lost in our country the importance of family and how much family is. Nothing you have that happens to is worth cutting family off.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
No, absolutely nothing. And you talk about Henry having an impact. We have grandkids named after Henry. Sandy and Jeff, their grandson is Henry.
Right.
Our grandson is Kate Henry. We have a Henry McLaughlin. We have now just had another little grandson, Rhett Henry. I know when the kids got married, a lot of people put up their parents' wedding pictures at the receptions. Or grandparents' wedding, at the reception or for people to see. Uncle Henry and Aunt Mary's picture was always at our kids' weddings because that was a grandparent to them.
Yes.
Very, mm-hmm. very much a grandparent to my children.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, anything you want to touch on of your childhood growing up? You're a great athlete, for sure. You love sports, and I know you love baseball. You're great at basketball. Do you remember? I don't know why I'm getting emotional about this.
A lot of stuff been said.
We had a lot of fun as kids.
I just remembered you and I jumping center at the Brussels gym. Remember that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 I don't even know why I was jumping center.
I just remember being at school, and I knew we were going to be playing Brussels, and it was you, and it was Raymond.
And Cindy hated it.
I hated it. Uh-huh. I absolutely hated it because I would never cheer against you, and I would never cheer against Raymond. And I can remember a schoolmate coming up to me and threatening me that I needed to tell Raymond, and you and Joe Webster came to my aid because this person had me against the wall in the gym.
Yeah.
And you came to our aid and said, hey.
What were they saying to you?
They tell Raymond we're going to beat the crap out of him, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, I'm not telling Raymond anything, and don't count on it, who are you going to root for? And I'm just like, leave me alone, and you and Joe came down, and I kind of went off of you, but Joe kind of had him. Joe got, this person. I don't want to say who it was. Okay. And
you want me to?
No. but anyway, I can remember being at the game, and I was, yay, for both sides. Because I was not going to root against either. You wouldn't. Couldn't make me.
Yeah. You think about that growing up. And maybe it still is today. Of course, the schools are combined now. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as athletics go.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yes.
And We probably should have been back then, too.
I agree.
I mean, we were
Raymond wanted to play football with you so bad.
Oh, I did.
I wanted him too.
Anything.
He did.
I didn't understand why. I just couldn't walk up and they gave me a uniform and walk on the field.
Yeah.
Pick somebody else. I just didn't understand.
Oh,
just
man.
Give me one shot at it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm no good, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be pretty good at it.
Oh, yeah. I think you'd have been a natural, now, for
I'm like my Uncle Henry. I'm very determined.
Yeah.
And,
I just remember we had... some of those basketball games that we played behind your mom and dad's house.
Mm-hmm. Did you get involved in many of them? I played there all the time, so I don't remember who I all played against. But
I can remember.
Yes, I remember.
Playing in some of those games, and there'd be like 20 people out there, 20 guys waiting one team to take on, on another team, another team. And it was just so rough.
It was.
It was.
It was a rough
game. Especially my brother Roy.
Yeah.
He threw the elbows.
But that's what Eddie and Mart liked. That's what they wanted. They wanted the kids to play sports. Play sports out there and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
And I think Dad did too on our side. Mom and Dad. They liked us to have fun together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just a different kind of sport. Skiing.
Oh, thank you, skiing. I just remember we got the boat. You know, I think we were all about, 19 years old?
No, we were about 17.
Yeah, I think
17 years old. And we got
6 or 7.
You come running in the house.
We got a boat. And I was like, yes, we got a boat.
I remember your mom's expression when you said that. She didn't know anything about it until you said it.
Yeah. Well, it was Dad and I and Jeff. I don't know. Somehow we talked Dad into, we needed a boat. So we go over to Quiller's over in Mosier. And they had a boat there, a ski boat. And... really, it was a heck of a boat. It was just a very, not real big, you know, but it was a durable, good boat for us to try all. And we ended up making a deal on it and bringing it back. And I'm like, come on, Raymond, we're going skiing.
You come in that house. Dad got a boat. I was like, yeah. And I remember looking at Raymond because I knew he couldn't swim. But nobody else knew he couldn't swim.
I was scared to death of the river.
Scared to death of it.
You were scared to death of the river.
That's the way Dad raised us, to be scared of it.
And I told Raymond, I said, let's just go look at the boat. Let's just go look at the boat. Please, Raymond, let's just go look at the boat.
And I'm young and in love.
And he says, okay. And then we get down there and I'm like, let's just go for a ride. Come on, let's just go for a ride. We get in the boat and Dad gets you. And you had the skis, and there was another set of skis. I don't know where Jeff was. Jeff wasn't out there yet.
Oh, okay.
So it was just the three of us on the boat with Dad, and Dad goes, Ray, jump in there. Jump in there with Chris. And I'm like, oh, my God. Hey, he's going to kill me.
Yeah, he couldn't swim a lick.
No.
And had never skied in his life. But if you remember, he put on a ski vest and a ski belt.
Oh, yeah.
Got in the water. His hair did not get wet.
No, he was
had his
bobbing.
Blue jeans on.
He was bobbing like a cork.
Got on the skis. Dad pulled you guys up, and Raymond came up like that.
Heck yeah.
I knew you would, but I didn't know about Raymond. Raymond came up, and I looked at Dad. I said, oh, my God, Dad, please don't do any didos. I said, Raymond cannot swim. And Dad goes, can't swim? What? In the river, can't swim? No. And Raymond,
don't lose him. Now.
Don't lose him.
I just got him.
Yeah. And Raymond, or Dad made some big circle and came back.
We went around that island.
Yeah. And when we came back close to where we got in, Raymond just let go of the rope and skied right off over to the
shore
and jumped out of the skis. Never was his hair got wet.
Walked right out of the skis.
Walked out of the skis onto the side. Yeah.
Never been so scared in my whole life.
You were determined to live.
Yes, yeah, so that's what you got to have to live, determination.
Well, it was only like a couple weeks after that, we all went to the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
Stayed at Califran Lodge.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And you guys are all out there skiing. Well, Raymond and I came separately in Dad's van. His work van with Mike Fryman. We brought Mike Fryman down. And we get there, and we stayed at Califran Lodge, and Mom and Dad had a cabin, and we all camped out. And there was a pool there.
Was it like Debbie and Eric there?
Yes,
there
Debbie and Eric, Sandy and Jeff. Everybody was there. And they were all camping. We were all camping with them.
Okay.
Raymond swam, got in that pool all night long, and taught himself to swim. because he did not want to get out in that lake and not know how to swim.
Yeah, because the second time I got on the skis, Jeff was out there with me.
Yes.
We both popped up. Next thing I know, Jeff's pulling on his rope. My rope was shorter. He's pulling up on the rope. He kicks his skis off and gets on the back of my skis and starts climbing on my back. And then he's on my shoulder.
Took Raymond down. Sunk him.
I don't know if I went down, did I?
Yeah, you did. You okay. Guys ended up going down.
Yeah, we were always doing crazy, stupid things.
Yes,
for sure.
Always.
Yeah.
Somebody just recently asked me what's the difference. Your family was around the water. I bet you guys had great respect for the water. And I said, oh, No. You think wrong. No.
I think of the ski ramp you built.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that thing was
danger.
Were you
danger.
Were
Will
you
Rogers.
Use metal to slicken the surface of the ramp?
Well, you know what that was.
No.
What was it? It was a billboard, wasn't it?
That was a big Pepsi sign that was on the side of a building that was a store, mm-hmm. you know, that Mom and Dad bought.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie ran her
yes.
store out of. And they were taking that down. They took it down. And it was actually, I said, what are you going to do with that? Get rid of it. Throw it away. I'm like, I'll take that.
Entrepreneur that he is.
built a ski jump out of it. And, it was a dangerous ski jump.
Yeah, it was here. Like. Yes.
But it was right size. It was a great size for it.
What do they call that, Cindy, where you rub cheese across grate it? A grater?
Yeah.
And that's just that. What that?
You didn't want to fall on it.
It was a slicer.
It was going to take some.
You're going to get stitches.
Yeah.
You had to make up your mind. It was when we first put it in the water. We first got it out there. I was so excited about it, but then I noticed the waves would go and it would come up out of the water and go down. Up out of the water. And went, this might be tricky.
Yeah.
So we had to
put some more weight on it.
You need to add some water in those barrels to get it to sink a little bit more. I'm like, oh, okay. So we, and then it was still dangerous. But
so a positive memory of me on the water was is when your mom and dad had the cabin, and they had a dock out there, and we decided to play King of the Dock. I had an absolute blast. I ended up with a black eye out of it, but I would have done it.
I was just talking about that. To somebody yesterday.
Was you?
Yes. They were talking about something. I go, man, King of the Dock, that's what we did. That was so much fun.
Am I right? It was Jeff, yourself, Matt, Pauly, and myself, right? Is that who?
Yeah.
I know that was something.
There could be others there, too.
I know Pauly and Matt were involved. You and I and Jeff were.
And the dock was about, 12 by 12, maybe? 10 by 10?
I think it was a little...
It seemed big.
I want to say it was more like a 12 by 8, just to guess.
12 by 8?
Yeah, just to guess.
And it was on barrels, and it was carpeted.
Yes.
Yes.
And we'd get it out away from the bank, so if you fell in the water, you would...
Right. Wouldn't get hurt.
Did we wear life jackets on
that? No.
We weren't in it. We couldn't have been.
Life jackets. Hey,
Jeff, Chris, it couldn't have been in deep water if I'd had one on.
Oh, it was deep.
I mean, it was deep. Yeah.
Was it more than 6 feet deep?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was.
When I got on that thing?
Oh, we were 25, 30 feet away from the
front. I know we were out there a little bit, but man, I had a blast.
Oh, man, that was...
It was competition overtook your mind, baby. You didn't think about the water.
Maybe.
If you remember right, if you happen to be King of the Dock for a few moments,
it didn't last long.
Well, I mean, just because... When you're trying to fight to keep somebody coming off the dock, then somebody else would be coming off on the other side, and you'd have
push
you. Yeah, then they'd attack you, and then you would team up temporarily.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, right before you went against that teammate.
Yeah, right. yeah, it was
unless you were Jeff Lorton.
Oh, Jeff but, strategy.
No, yes, guys. I think it was Pauly and I were the only two on the dock at the time, but Pauly was smart and he got underneath me. And Jeff came up on the one end of the dock, and I seen him coming. And what he was going to do, he's going to hit both of us full speed and knock us off because we were close to the edge.
Yeah.
And about that time, Pauly pushed my head up, and Jeff's knee catches my eye. He goes over top. He's right back in the river. But his knee caught my eye.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Oh, carpet burns.
Yeah.
Big time carpet burns.
That was a nice dock, though. It was a nice dock.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun on the water. For sure.
A lot.
Yeah.
My best thing I love to do now is getting our son-in-law's boat, and I sit up front, and I watch my grandkids ski. I absolutely love it. And yes. And they're always like, you know, wanting me to say if they should jump higher or do something more. And I'm like going like this with my thumb up or down, you know, and go on out, you know, and they're always like this to me, you know, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Boating is with family and kids. We just, well, as you can see in here. You
yeah.
know,
I love it. I look at that picture and that is a great memory watching your boys ski.
Yes.
And Katie was a good little skier.
Yeah.
Katie I don't know if I remember Jenna skiing too much. She's more like my Mary. She was the music operator in the princess in the boat. Mm-hmm. That was that's Mary. She's got the music going, and
that's not also very good music, by the way, Mary.
No, well, maybe not, but
it's not country and western.
Yeah, that's what we are, aren't we?
So, hey, with your kids, you had. You had four kids, and I think you were maybe done, right?
Well, we thought we were.
We thought we were. And then you watched Jenna and Katie.
Yes.
Were just true.
Oh,
when
yes.
they were babies.
Oh, gosh.
Jenna was, I mean, Jenna was like one, yeah, just Katie. Barely one. And Katie was like
a few weeks old.
A few weeks old. And
we did not let them down.
And Brenda and I, we just had to get out of town for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we just had to get a break. It's been, we were running the hotel.
I remember you calling me and saying, could you watch one of the girls, Jenna? I said, I'll only watch Jenna if we can have Katie too. And we never let them touch the ground, did we, Raymond? It was so much fun. And you guys ended up coming in late at night because we were watching.
We're going about a week.
Yeah, but you came home, it was late at night, and Raymond and I are sitting up in the middle of the night holding the baby, watching the Tonight Show, remember?
Yeah, I still remember sitting in recliner with Katie.
Sleeping. Oh, he'd come in for lunch, because he'd come in every day for lunch, and I'd have both the babies, and then he'd come in, and he'd change his clothes real fast, and then he'd sit in the recliner and hold babies, and then I'd make him lunch, and then I'd take him back, and he would eat. But then when the kids came home, they held them all the time. Those kids never laid on a bed the entire time they were at our house. Never. They slept on us the entire time, the entire week.
So if they're spoiled, you can blame it on us.
And when you left with them, Raymond just looked at me and goes, they will never let us watch them again.
I forgot that.
You did. You go, I forgot they will that. Never let us watch them again.
We had a blast.
We did. It was so much fun.
Then
we have...
And when Hayden. Cindy became pregnant with Hayden, I think we were 33. We had him when we were 34, right? Mm-hmm. And you would think at this point, I think Lindsay was six or seven.
Well, she was seven when he was born.
Yes. So you would think we'd be a little upset, but we were so elated.
And the kids were so happy.
Yes.
It was fun.
I can still very plainly see the kids' expression and how happy they were, how happy we were.
Yeah. Was.
Now, Hayden, he never got spoiled, did he?
He will tell you he was raised with five mothers and one crotchety aunt, is how he calls it, because he said he had me, his three sisters, and my mom, and then Grandma Martha was like the crotchety aunt. He loved Grandma Martha, but Grandma Martha would be a little more grouchy than the rest of us all spoiled him rotten. Never, you know, now. Yeah.
I can remember once at Christmas time when we all at Mom and Dad's at Christmas when they lived across from the high school.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know. Hayden was probably one, maybe. I don't know. You know, something like that. And I don't know what it was. He wanted his own way. He wanted to do something. You weren't letting him do something. And he was the baby. He was the focus. You know how it was. The littlest one got a lot of focus. So everybody's around him. And he said, I'm going to hold my breath. And I'm not going to quit. And he held his breath. And everybody started screaming because he's holding his breath. He could hold his breath. And he was holding it until he turned blue. He started turning blue. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, somebody said, He'll start breathing once he passes. But do you remember that at all?
No, I remember. No, it was when Dad was dying. Is when Dad had passed away already. And mm-hmm. we were all there. And there was a bunch of people there. Carmody's were all there.
Yeah, the house was full.
Full. And the kids were playing, doing something. Well, Hayden took a breath. And it, his vocal, his anyhow, his it collapsed. His esophagus collapsed.
That's what it was.
And he was turning blue. We thought he was choking on something. And Matt grabbed him. And I'm, like, beside myself. I didn't know what to do. And Matt is sticking his fingers down Hayden's throat, trying to find something. He couldn't find anything. I am starting to pass out.
Uh-huh.
I was just, I could hear people screaming. I didn't know what, you know, I was done. My dad has passed away, and now I'm going to bury my son, too. That's exactly what I thought.
Oh, boy.
And then I hear Phil Carmody and Martha, Cindy, he's okay. He's awake, waking me up. And Mom runs out the front door screaming that we need help. We need help. Poor Mom. But it was because his esophagus had collapsed.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
I remember that. I couldn't remember exactly what happened.
Yeah. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Okay. He took a breath and went, and somebody thought he was he wasn't mad about anything. That just happened.
Oh. Okay.
So that's probably why you thought he got mad and was holding his breath. But he wasn't holding his breath. he was going. That just scared the crap out of me. He never did anything like that again.
No.
That was just an odd thing.
Other than when he was taking a bottle and he aspirated.
He did. Milk. He aspirated on milk and ended up in Children's Hospital. Yes. He couldn't breathe. Yeah. And we had to take him down by ambulance.
Yeah, they didn't know what it did to his
lungs. Yeah.
They were checking.
Yeah.
Do you think it was better, easier to raise the kids on the farm versus in town? Cindy, you grew up in town. You knew what it was like to grow up in town.
I couldn't raise a kid in town now.
You couldn't?
Mm-mm. It isn't like when we were kids. Town, we ran around in town. We played tag on bikes.
Well, you could still run around Hardin, couldn't you? You can run around Jerseyville, couldn't you?
I don't think in the same way, because Mom never feared for us to be picked up and taken. Or a kid running out in front of a fast motorcycle or a fast car. I think, we played in the streets.
Yeah.
And here comes the car, get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, and we did, you know. You couldn't do that. But on the farm, I just, the kids just had so much freedom. They could just play and play. And we actually had a dog that never left our kids aside. If we couldn't find them, we found the dog and we found the kids.
Uh-huh.
And that is the truth, because Sean would fall asleep. He'd go outside and play, and then he'd wander someplace and go to sleep. And we found him one time in a tractor seat, sleeping, and the dog was underneath the tractor seat.
We couldn't find him for a long time, and we finally...
I was scared to death. I thought Raymond had him. Raymond thought I had him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we finally spotted the dog, whose name was Joey, sleeping underneath the tractor, and went over there and here saying, Sean sleeping on
the tractor seat.
Yeah.
And that dog would not let those kids in the cornfield.
They wouldn't let them.
Wouldn't let them get. Because, you know, a kid get in a cornfield, he'll get lost, he'll die. They'll get in a cornfield, they'll suffocate.
How did that dog know that?
I don't know, but that dog would knock them kids over and not let them.
I just don't know the instincts of he had great instincts.
He never, even our friends would come over, and Debbie Castle came one time. Debbie and Ronnie came with their kids, and we had Joey, and she took Sean by the hand and started to walk with him, and my dog took his mouth and put it right on her hand and walked her all the way to the door. You know, he was that way with Sean and Rachel.
Sean and Joey were
best buddies. They grew up together. Sean was in a little walker when we got Joey as a puppy, and the two of them were just... And then same way with Hayden and Jake. Mm-hmm. Hayden couldn't cross the grass. If there was a bumblebee, he would knock him over. Wouldn't let him step in that spot. I mean, would never let him in a field. I never had to worry about him out there.
We still watched, but
you know, I didn't have to worry about that stuff.
We just had the reassurance of these two dogs, these two particular dogs.
Those two particular dogs, yeah.
What kind of dogs were they?
Mutts.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but were they?
Mainly, they looked like a collie.
Yeah, looked like a border collie shepherd.
I mean, that dog that you have now, what's its name?
Arliss.
Arliss. Is he a protector at all?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, I don't think so.
No, he's not.
He's a lover.
Be honest about it, he doesn't even like kids.
Oh, he doesn't?
Doesn't hurt them.
But he don't want to play with them.
He doesn't want to play with them.
He's like, oh, here they come. I'm getting lost.
Yeah.
You know.
But he wants to play with Cindy and I.
Yeah.
I mean, when I get ready to go for my walk and I start to put my shoes on, he just goes crazy. He starts barking, jumping on all four, up and down. He just can't wait to go on a walk with me.
But now Winston wants to play with him so bad, yeah. and he's good. He's good with Winnie.
Yeah, he's gotten close to Winston. Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
Winston is a treat feeder. He gives Arliss a lot
so
of treats.
So Arliss knows Winston's going to give him a treat.
I see. Now you guys been together for 50 years, right?
Yep.
Something like that, 50 years. Have you, and I'm not one to bring up, you know, something bad, but have you ever been in a knockdown, drag-out fight?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we've gotten fights.
But we never fought in front of our kids.
You didn't?
No.
Did you ever, so what did you do?
We talk about it later by ourselves.
The worst.
You talked or yelled and screamed?
Well, no, we could have. We
worst,
mainly talked.
I hate to bring this up, but the worst one we ever had involved you, Chris.
Yeah.
Me?
Yes, we came over to the bar late one night, the Marston Club, and you said,
you Ray, two left.
You said, Raymond, let's just go home. You had gotten a convertible. Well, show me the convertible.
Oh.
And I was all up for
leaving. Was this at the hotel, though?
Yes.
This is the hotel.
Yes.
Okay.
And then at the same time, I think that's when just Sean and Rachel was getting ready to start high school, and Cindy was going over the conflicts we were having with sending them to Calhoun.
Okay.
And you addressed Cindy in such a way that, why are you doing that for? Why are you causing that problem for? You can stop that problem. Well, I didn't say anything, and Cindy thought I should have said something to you.
Oh, what was that? What was the thing? What was the problem?
About going to school at Calhoun.
About going to school
districts,
at Calhoun, and you said, well,
district line.
What's the big deal? Why do you have to send them up there? You know?
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain it to you, but you were kind of... not listening.
Probably not.
I was mad at him.
But wait a minute. Before,
because he didn't help me out.
I got to set this up better. So you and I left the bar right away when we got there, but Brenda stayed with Cindy, and they were at the bar. And my beautiful wife is a partier.
Yeah.
And so she had drank some.
Yeah.
And anyway, we got home, and she was mad at me.
She was mad at me, and then I took you.
No. She was mad at me that I didn't stop you from saying your opinion about the school districts.
And, I am very opinionated at times.
Yeah. That's all right.
Anyway, and you add a couple beers on top.
My emotions just got the best
mad,
of me.
I was not mad at Cindy. I don't know if I should tell this how much.
Oh, you were, dude.
Now, wait a minute. At that point, you were hammering on me all the way home.
Yeah,
and
I
then,
did.
And then we get home.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm just wanting to go to bed. This is farming season, by the way, at this time, too. So I got to get up pretty early. It's late. And next thing I know, I go to the house, and there's no Cindy. She's walking down. I don't know what time. This is the middle of the night. She's walking down the lane.
What time is it?
I'm going to say
2 in the morning, something like that. But I knew I had had a lot. I was just trying to sober up. I was just walking back and forth, but he was going ballistic, and I just got ticked again.
Okay. Of course, I don't recall it that way. I recall.
Where do you think I was going?
I did get frustrated with you.
Yeah, you did.
And this is what my frustration was. For pity's sake, Cindy, he's your twin brother. Let him voice his opinion. We don't have to do what he says. And why does it make you feel bad if he feels that way?
I know.
I just didn't understand it.
I told you I had...
Let bygones be bygones. But anyway, she couldn't let it go. And again, the alcohol was...
I wasn't mad at you. I was mad at him.
No, yeah. It transferred right away to me. It was... This was the worst year.
Well, I'm glad.
That was the worst fight
time
I ever
worst
had.
Time. Fight. Worst time.
I'm glad I was a part of it.
Yeah.
I ain't going to tell you. You want me to tell the rest of that story?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
I can't.
No.
Why not?
No. We don't need to hear any more of it. It's just bringing up bad stuff.
Okay. All right. But now it's nice when you can laugh about it now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny the next day.
Oh.
To a degree. I had to get, I had to get over it a little bit. Cindy had to get over it.
It just seems with you two, always from the outside looking in, you always got along so well,
We did.
We do.
And,
even
Raymond, I know he's very conservative about it, and Cindy's.
I am conservative, but I spend.
But, yeah, Cindy's, you were patient. I mean, you're living on the farm. There for a while, you had four kids in one bedroom, right?
Yeah,
right.
Correct.
Yeah, when they were little. You wanted to add on? How many times did you add on? Three times?
Well, no, the main big time when you guys did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we added on that room, so twice.
Yeah, twice. Or yeah. I just know Raymond's like me, conservative. Mm-hmm. You guys are conservative. They don't want to spend any money unless it's something that actually needs to be spent on.
Yeah, and we don't live in the house, and so we don't think there needs to be change.
That's right. Yeah, we're out.
It functions very well the way it is.
Yes, mm-hmm. And we could use that money for something else mm-hmm. that we thought was...
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but you two always got along well.
We did, and probably our roughest time is now, for yes, whatever reason.
It is.
We've just both become more opinionated. There's just more stuff in life right
now. It's just
too
much
going
on.
Well, I'm not complaining. We have 20 grandchildren, which, thank you, Jesus. 5 children, good children. But there's a lot of things that come up during these times, and Cindy and I just don't all see eye to eye. Or we don't. We might be... with one of the kids, and we hear something different. That's the biggest thing.
Or I find out something, and I'm like, and you didn't tell me.
Uh-huh. I'm bad about that.
I knew nothing about it.
Uh-huh.
And I figured there was no need for anybody to know about it. I mean.
Well, the thing that is, of course, Brendan and I don't have any grandchildren now. We just have one grand.
Yeah.
But
Piper.
Yes. And we'd love to have grandchildren, and we know
you will
chances
someday.
Are we'll get some. Well, we love our nephews and nieces and love yeah. being around kids, especially those kids. But 20 grandkids, and then you throw in the kids and their spouses, that's a lot of people.
And now the dogs.
Yeah, since we've got a dog inside, they all bring their dogs.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if you say... don't bring your dogs? Or do you tell them not to bring your dogs? Or do you,
what no,
do
you, no, we don't. We wouldn't do that.
No.
We wouldn't do that. We don't mind the dogs.
No.
Maybe we don't mind the dogs. There's just a lot of stuff happening all the time. That's just
yes, your house is always pretty alive.
Yeah. It's an active
constant.
Place.
Do you ever, what times do you ever get a break where it's quiet?
Sunday night.
Didn't take you long to answer that, right?
No, Sunday night, they all got to go to school the next day or something.
We have realized this for a while, Sunday night. And it's not that we mind the busy weekend.
No.
But it's Sunday night, it's just the time for Cindy and I.
Uh-huh.
It's just one-on-one time. So that's...
It ends about 8 o'clock in the morning. Phones start ringing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
8 in the morning.
8 in the morning, but the weekend ends
the
about
weekend,
8 p.m.
About 8,
and so
8 or
the
9.
Rest of the evening.
Or I could see with having that many kids with spouses and with children that, you two get called on a lot to babysit, help out.
You know what? It hasn't happened as much these last 8 years. They don't call us to babysit so much.
No.
Uh-uh. Because Raymond can get sick so quick. That you have to back out. We're not reliable.
Right.
As much as we'd like to watch them.
Right. We still watch them.
We still watch them, yeah, but not
it's
like...
It's a gamble.
It's a gamble.
Uh-huh.
It's a gamble.
Hey, let's do this. Okay. Let's go down the line of the grandkids, and let's say something special about each one. Different.
Ooh,
oh, man.
Can you do that or not?
Yeah,
I think
I could. I don't...
Okay. You want to start young? And go up, or let's family at a piece, or how you want to do
let's
it?
Let's just start with the eldest.
Yeah, I think so too. Ella.
Okay, Ella. What about Ella?
Oh, gosh.
She's beautiful.
Ella and I, when Ella was little, we had such a great rapport. And we don't have a Not that we have a bad one now, but
you
it's
don't.
Just,
no,
it's not. It just ain't
well,
the same.
She's grown
I was
up,
so,
honey.
Ella was so close to me, and Ella was our first grandchild.
Yeah,
so
we were both close to her.
Yes,
because her and I used to bake
yeah,
a
her,
lot.
The only
in fact,
issue
I wrote
was,
her a book.
The only issue is, and I was
about baking.
And Kristen, I hope you hear this, was you, because you told us that when Ella's old enough to ask to stay at her house, then she could. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And she's a beautiful young girl.
Then there's
young woman.
Well, she's
yes.
Apple Queen of Calhoun.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then now that all.
And then
now,
we have Cadester.
Yep.
He was number two.
Just a,
and he is a joy.
He's just an all around good kid.
Yeah.
Just a good, good kid.
He just graduated this year from high school and is gonna go to be a
well, what makes him
diesel
such a
mechanic.
Good kid? Why do you say what makes him stand out?
He cares for people.
Yes, and he's
very.
Yes,
he has a heart on his sleeve.
Yes, he isn't a loud kid.
Mm-mm.
It's the way he handles himself, and
he's not up in anybody's grill. He's just a good kid.
Yeah, with Cindy and I, and with his cousins. Just they, of course, the other grandsons, younger grandsons, look up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he does great with that.
Then was Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary was we babysat her a lot because they asked us to her first 2 years, and then Chelsea quit working. But Mary's a singer.
Oh, I know she's a singer.
And an actress, and she turns into a whole different person on stage than she is when she's home, when she's just. You can ask her to sing, and she'll go, oh, no. But when she gets out there on that stage, she's booming.
Oh,
and she's got it. She's
and
cute.
Another thing special about Mary, Mary likes to talk about God.
She does.
And my next favorite subject, politics.
Yes, very, very, very political and
yes.
And you,
spiritual.
Have you taught her well, right?
I think I have.
Mm-hmm.
In one paper I helped her write for high school, I think it was last year, she had to write a Craig,
come on in. Hello, Craig.
Hi,
hey, Craig.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're good.
It's our long lost neighbor.
Yes.
Craig.
Yes.
How are the crops in Meppen?
I'm telling you what, your brother and nephew have done a wonderful job. Their crops look great.
Yes.
The rows aren't as straight as Dad's.
No, well,
Eddie's,
I don't know
Eddie's
if anybody,
were crooked too.
I don't know if anybody could do better than your dad.
No.
He was
known for his straight rows.
Absolutely. Yeah,
he was known to be very precise on everything.
Hey, are you guys related?
No.
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 Well, that's unusual.
I still miss your dad.
I often
think of him.
Mm-hmm.
Ray and Cindy's neighbors with my nephew.
Yes. Yes. And we never see him. They do.
Well, when we, for on our behalf, Craig, we have too.
Yeah.
And I hope that'll change soon.
Yeah.
On our part, at least.
Yeah.
Good seeing you guys.
You too.
Great seeing you, Craig.
Take care.
See you, Craig. So back to Mary.
Yeah. So Mary asked me to help her write a paper because she didn't know what to write on, and so I. And again, I used her two favorite subjects, which is God and politics. And by the way, the two can't be separated. If you believe in God, God never stops in your life. You don't put him at the door when you go into the ballot box. You don't check him when you go thinking about how people legislate. You think about whether they are of God or not. Anyway, the title of the paper was, Which Party's Most of God? Democrats or Republicans?
You made that up?
Yes, and then Mary, I'm telling you, fast she ran with that.
Yes, she did.
And wrote a great paper.
Yeah.
We talked about, for example, in New York at the time, there was 32 different genders they claimed.
Oh, I didn't know there was that many.
No, and
there
of course God
but...
only made two genders, and so there you go. I mean, so God and politics, I mean.
Okay.
Next. Then there's Kira. Kira is our tall, athletic horseback riding princess.
I would say, Cindy, would you agree that she is probably the most athletic grandchild?
Yes, she's the most athletic grandchild we have at this point.
Yes. And now she's struggling with
I don't even know how disease, to say whatever it is, yeah,
whatever they want to call it.
And it's just sad because it's been taken from her.
It's taken her athletic ability away from her. But, not just that,
but I love her smile when she comes in. I'm like, oh, Kira, and her smile just lifts your heart.
Yeah.
She's extremely smart.
She's a hugger.
Yes.
She's affectionate.
Loves animals.
Mm-hmm.
But she would be a barrel racer if she could.
I was sure she would be.
She would be very much a barrel racer.
Well, maybe when she gets healed up.
Yes, that's the hope.
That's her hope.
Okay. Who's next?
Walter.
So Walt?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I guess it's Walt.
Walter is...
First of all, how did he get the name Walter? Is there a relative?
No. It started out kind of as a funny joke when they first got pregnant. They didn't know if they were having a boy or a girl, but they were like, we're naming Walter, and it kind of aggravated a couple people, so Clint just kept saying it, you know. But then when she was having the baby, the movie Son-in-Law was on when she was having Walter at the hospital. His name was Walter Warner, the farmer in that movie, and they named him Walter. Okay. So his name is Walter Anthony, after his dad, too. And then they had Warner, and the movie was on again. So they named him Warner.
Well, how about Walter, as far as what kind of a boy is he?
Walter is a farmer. Walter is a businessman. Walter is a hands-on guy.
And he's inherited Henry's determination.
Very much. If there's a little Henry, it's Walter.
He's determined to help out on the farm.
Yes. He has started his own cattle business at the age of 11.
Roughly, I don't remember exactly.
He talked to his dad. He saved his money, and he bought all the fencing and got on YouTube, figured out how to do it, and his dad helped him out with the cattle and bought cattle and sold his first cattle at 11. Mm-hmm. So.
And then there's
Roland.
Mm-hmm.
And Roland's a cattle man, too, and he's been in the cattle business since he's little bitty, too, with his other grandpa. So he's really been in the cattle business.
Okay.
Roland has.
Roland's a handsome young man.
Very handsome young man, and he's gotten so tall. Holy cow. And he's a good kid.
Yeah.
He's a good kid.
Yep.
But he's like the blonde. Well, he's getting darker haired.
Yeah, it's really gotten dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's Warner.
Then there's Warner. And Warner was an athlete. Is an athlete.
Yeah.
But he's gotten hurt several times playing.
Football.
Broken ankle. He just broke his arm this week playing baseball. Stuff like that, you know. But He's a hunter.
Loves hunting.
Expert shot. Just really good.
He's a man's man.
Yeah, he's
a boy's boy.
He has such a contagious laugh.
Yes.
There's no laugh. He gets it from his grandpa Joe.
Yeah.
What's it sound like?
It's a giggle. It's a giggle.
Yeah,
it's a giggle.
Yeah.
And then there's after Warner comes Maya.
Yeah.
And Warner and Maya are the same age. Roland and Walter are the same age. So Maya is beautiful. Maya is so caring and so loving.
Yes. Just don't cross your path, though.
Yeah. But she is one tough little cookie.
I just said it. Don't cross her.
Don't come after me. I will love you. I will help take care of you. But don't come after me because I will let you have it.
Yeah.
She is one tough cookie.
She's a tough one.
Okay.
She is tough. But she is sweet. I'd take her any day of the week. And she's a hard little worker.
Yes.
Very hard little worker. And then we have our three little princesses.
Three girls.
We have the three girls that are the same age. The oldest one is Jessa. Jessa is the most innocent, sweet, free-spirited girl I know. Yes. She's just sweet. So I don't know how else you would say it.
I don't know if I should say this or not, but I'm going to. We had three granddaughters born real close together, Jessa, Isabel, and Henley.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's the glue that keeps them together.
She's the glue that holds them together. She's the one that can let things roll off.
Yeah.
And, the one that doesn't get caught in the little things that upset. You know, No. She's just.
She's sweet.
She's a lover.
Yeah.
She will always, when we see her, give us a hug and tell us she loves us.
Every time.
I mean, all of our grandkids do it, but Jessa is above and beyond.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have Henley. Mm-hmm. And Henley is, gosh, I don't even know what to say. Henley is so damn cute.
I think of...
she's so innocent. She's just so...
glitter and sparkles.
Yeah, She's... she's just so cute. She gets out on the basketball floor and she's like, would you like the basketball? You know, she's going to hurt you. Oh, you jump on that. Go ahead. But she's out there making friends on the court. She's just so dang cute.
Yes.
She's a good kid.
Yes,
she's a good kid. And then there's Isabel. Isabel is very athletic, very sportsy, smart.
Super smart.
Super smart. She is fighting cancer at this time, and
but still, even with that, she's
determined.
Yesterday, for example, she got released from the hospital and dropped off at a camp away from her family, and she loves it. She's very active.
Very active. And then there's let's see, the next one is Rafe. No, Henry. Henry's next, and Henry is
he's autistic,
and he is just different than most autistic children, because he is a lover too, but he is inquisitive about everything and will take anything apart and is in on anything. And then there is,
let me stop with him. I'm gonna say one more thing about Henry. Henry is one, we stayed over at Phil and Lindsay's house to watch Henry one day, and or one week to watch Henry and James.
And Jamesy.
And I know, and we walk him right out of school. They live right across the school, and you walk him over. And I noticed the first day, I didn't really know what classroom he belonged in. And this little girl came up, oh, Henry, I'll take Henry. And he takes her to her classroom because she wants to be with Henry.
Yeah, there are a lot of kids there. They absolutely love Henry.
And when trick-or-treating comes along, and they live in a pretty good-sized town, other kids want to stop going with their group because they want to go with Henry. He's loved by everyone.
Wow.
So I don't know what he does exactly.
But he's a magnet.
If someone's crying or hurting, he doesn't speak, but he comes up to him and gives him a hug.
But he does go, okay, okay.
That's
what he does. And then is Rafe.
Yes.
And Rafe is very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Very
competitive.
Another
Henry.
Very competitive. Ooh, big time. And he's a good kid too.
Yeah, he's a blast to watch play sports.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
He's one of these kids you want to be at the ball game with him.
How old is he?
I'm not
sure. What grade is he in?
He's in third.
Third now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he's.
But he's one of the kids that you want to have on your side.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be the one that's going to be the pain in the other team's rear end.
Yeah.
Is he kind of like you, Ray?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
That's what it reminds me of.
Then it's James. And James is the youngest child. And he's for Lindsay and Phil.
Yeah.
And you can tell. But he's so funny because he was a big baby. And so Phil's brother said, wow, we're going to call him Bob. He's a big old boy like that. So Bob has stuck. So we call him Bob, and James always says, I might not be Bob, but I'm a slob.
And he is. But
I just love him. He's so sweet.
I also last fall took him with me to do some drilling, some wheat, and he was so helpful.
Yes.
Such a blast to have with.
Yeah, he wanted to help.
Yes.
He wanted to help. And then there's Winston. And Winston is our mathematician.
Yes.
He is extremely smart in math at the age of 6.
Very athletic.
Yes, very
very, very athletic.
Very athletic.
He plays t-ball, and they won their first game, and Meppen does not have a good team. And I think Hayden, I was in the hospital at the time, I think Hayden texted me and says, we won like 12-11, but Winston had 2 grand slams.
Yeah. So anyway.
So we won thanks to Winston.
Yeah. And but he's extremely smart in math,
and
at his age,
and very polite.
Very polite.
Most of our grandkids are. I don't mean to set him apart, but he's very polite.
Yeah. And then we have little Ray. We have little Ray, and little Ray is our animal lover, and he is extremely smart about geography and science and things like this. He simply loves learning.
He wants you to read a book to him. I record National Geographics for him, and we sit down and we watch National Geographics. And he retains all of it.
Yes, he does.
Well, you was with him at the ballpark last weekend?
At the graduation party.
Yeah. Oh, I got such a kick out of it.
Yeah, he just retains it all. Yeah.
He does. And he's going to let you know it. And then we have Rodney, and Rodney is the opposite of Ray. And he is just a little boy wanting to play, loves his trucks.
A lot like Walter.
Yes. He's a hands-on kid, and he wants to go to the farm, and he wants to help with the cows, he wants to be a part of that.
He wants to drive everything you have, and he's only four?
Five.
Five?
He's five.
You had his birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so he thinks he can drive anything.
He's got caught driving his Papa Bear's golf cart. They caught him going down the middle of a corn row. You could see
the field road.
You could see the flag going.
And he loves going with his dad. Or he goes with his dad, and ultimately I end up next to Hayden. And then he dumps his dad and goes with me.
And then he wants to come with me.
Yeah.
Comes to the house. He don't want to leave the house.
He wants to go to the farm. And sometimes I get to wonder, one reason he wants to go to farm, because he wants to end up at our house.
Yeah, he wants to end up at the house. He wants to stay. And then we have...
But when he gets tired, or the days he thinks is to the end, he wants to go home then.
Yeah. Then we have Josie, and Josie is just a little sweetheart. She's the ruler of their roost, and she's so cute. And she loves to have her fingernails painted, her toenails painted, and her little sparkles, but then she wants to get out there in the dirt with them boys, and she's going to play just as hard as they play.
Yeah, she has the glitter like Marion Henley.
Yes.
But she also has the get down and get dirty as a boy.
As a boy, yes. And then we have Leo. And Leo is not with us anymore. He is with his real father, but he was fostered with my daughter Rachel and her husband Ryan. And
we had him for roughly
2 years. And he will always be our grandson. And was little Mr. Speed Racer. And he just would run faster than he could walk, walk faster than he could run, however you say that.
Yeah, sounds like you miss him.
We miss him.
We miss him immensely. His nickname was Javi.
Javi? And he loved it.
Javi would, Rachel and Ryan would come to the house, and if I would be in the other room in a chair, they'd put Javi down when he was walking and running, and he'd come flying around that corner to get to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
jump.
Quick.
And you'd be in church, and he'd go, Nana! Nana! Loved it. And now we have little Rhett Henry, and he's just a little guy of his own. He's only 2 weeks old, so his little personality isn't quite there yet, but we can see he's going to be perfect in whatever he does.
Yes, yes.
As handsome as he can be.
And I want to apologize if we forgot one. I hope we haven't. I don't think we have, but...
No.
No.
Good. We might not know how old they are.
I should have been counting my fingers through this.
Might not know how old they are, but we know them.
While I'm thinking about it, Chris, if I can leave one thing with my family, is seek to know the person that created you and everything around you. Your life will be so much better off. And please, whatever you do, don't make life about yourself. Make it about others. And I guarantee you, kids, you will have a more joyful life and less sorrows.
And always love each other.
Yeah.
Forgive.
Yeah. That's what happens when you forget about yourself.
Yeah, you forgive.
Check. I ought to make this motto with our kids. Check yourself in at the door. Let it there on the outside of the house. Come in and make it about everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Well,
got anything you want to say, Cindy?
Yeah, Cindy.
Only that I love you, Raymond.
I love
always
you,
have
honey.
And always will.
Same here. I will say one thing. I'm going to say this to the kids. In today's world, I think kids are encouraged not to marry until they're in their 30s, roughly. And I'm not critical. I'm not trying to be critical of anybody. But I will say, men's nature is pretty simple. We are a physical being. And by God helping me fall in love with Cindy, it kept me from making mistakes in my life. And I look back and when I fell in love with you, Cindy, what a blessing it was. Now, why I fell in love with Cindy? I was actually another girl like me at the time. And I was supposed to, we were at a football game, and Cindy was there, and Cindy and I were friends. She was going to help me go over and buy a birthday present for her at the fair.
Yeah, we went to the fair.
I tell you, Chris, I had such a blast that night with Cindy because Cindy is everything that I am not. I've always been uncomfortable if I've had to control the conversation, be part of a conversation. Cindy alleviated that for me. She took over all the airtime, and I made me feel at ease. And then
I haven't taken over the airtime today.
No, I know, baby. Things have changed over the years. And then I don't know if you remember, Chris, I almost say a couple weeks after that particular night, a Friday night, mm-hmm. we were over in Hamburg at the Patton's house. We played some flag football. And again, I don't know how to describe it. The feeling I had being around Cindy overwhelmed me then. She just made me feel so at peace and so easy. I was uncomfortable around girls.
Okay.
And that's the day that I knew that I loved her. Again, we're only 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful
That's what I call you guys, the love story.
And I'm so thankful that we got married at 19.
Yeah, me too.
We've only been with each other. We don't care anything else into the relationship.
That's good.
I don't know if I took the airtime. So did you say what you wanted to say?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you, honey.